Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning and welcome to our program. For our first article this morning, we would like to read one called Indigenous Woman of the Amazon, Send a Call. The fight for Mother Earth is the mother of all fights. And this is by Osprey Oriel Lake and was published in the October 2019 issue of Share International magazine. The lives of every future generation and our species as humans depends on the collective effort to generate new development models. Humanity has no plan B for the Earth. Our fight is so urgent that we must all get together right now. The fight for Mother Earth is the mother of all fights. In the Amazon, the lungs of our planet are on fire. The vast inferno can be seen from space, gasping and suffocating under the regime of Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro and economic development models that pose an aggressive attack on indigenous peoples and their ancestral forest territories.
The Amazon sequesters vast amount of carbon, with its trees absorbing around a quarter of the carbon dioxide released annually by fossil fuels. The Amazon is also a major source of rain and weather patterns that maintain vital ecosystems across South America and beyond, meaning further deforestation will have a major impact on the global scale and contribute disastrously to the climate crisis.
More than 74,000 fires have blazed through Brazil this year, an 84% increase over last year's count in the same time frame. Scientists have made it clear that many of these fires are human-made, and cattle ranchers and farmers in Brazil have confirmed their handiwork. This massive social and ecological destruction originates with President Bolsonaro's anti-environmental rhetoric, which falsely asserts that the protection of forests and indigenous rights are obstacles to economic growth. In this political landscape, with encouragement from Bolsonaro, farmers and ranchers are lighting fires with impunity in order to expand their enterprises.
Since his inauguration earlier this year, that's 2019, Bolsonaro has worked to dismantle key protections and policies that protect the rights of indigenous peoples and the Amazon in Brazil. His administration's devastating assault on social and environmental protections has led to a surge in deforestation and violations of indigenous rights, culminating now in massive fires.
In response to increased threats for indigenous people and forest protection, indigenous women from across Brazil joined together on 13th of August in the country's capital for the first Indigenous Women's March in Brazil. Their goal? To oppose Bolsonaro's current attacks on their rights and to visibilize the immense power of indigenous women and women's role in defending the Amazon and their communities from further harm.
Indigenous women have been urgently speaking out for years, warning about the dangers to the Amazon due to extractive economic models and the demands of fossil fuel, mining and agricultural companies, all of which have been further emboldened by, most recently, by Bolsonaro's administration. What we see in the Amazon fires are the egregious abuses that result from unchecked capitalism, colonization, racism, and patriarchy, all of which are based upon the same system and ideologies that promote power over and exploitation of women, indigenous people, people of color, and the land. These fires and Bolsonaro's many anti-indigenous actions are just a few examples of the long-term systemic efforts of governments and corporations worldwide to enact genocidal policies that harm indigenous peoples and their territories.
Addressing one of the root causes of the systemic issue, the organization Amazon Watch released a report in 2019 connecting the dots between northern consumers and financiers and Bolsonaro's attacks on the Brazilian Amazon. The report found that both cattle ranching and soy industries in Brazil, which together account for 80% of Amazon deforestation, are financed through European and North American banks and investors such as JP Morgan Chase Bank and BlackRock. These big banks and large investment companies have a long history of financing industries that destroy forests and commit human rights violations, from slave labor in Brazil to police violence at Standing Rock. Banks and financiers must be held accountable for their decisions to value profit over people, and this fight must continue even after the fires in the Amazon are extinguished.
It is a heartbreaking time for all of us, for the indigenous communities who have called the Amazon home for generations and who are the best custodians of their forests, for the thousands of unique and diverse species that inhabit the forest, and for the trees who've stood tall, providing our entire planet with the air we need to breathe. We are in an emergency, and business as usual can no longer be tolerated. Within this context, one of the most important things we can do is to lift up the voices, leadership, and demands of indigenous people.
The Women's Earth and Climate Action Network, WECAN for short, was able to host prominent Indigenous leader Sonia Guajajara, former vice presidential candidate of Brazil and national coordinator of Brazil's Indigenous People Articulation, in New York City earlier this year at the 18th session of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, where she was already sounding the alarm on President Bolsonaro's deleterious actions.
WECAN International reconnected with Sonia Guajajara for an interview by phone from Imperatriz Marano in Brazil, where she shared with us the impacts of the blazing fires. And one of the questions given to her was, can you tell us more about the fire surging in the Brazilian Amazon? And she goes on to say, Indigenous people have been warning the world about the violations that the whole country has been suffering for many decades. Under the predatory action of loggers, miners, and the agribusiness that has a very powerful lobby inside of the National Congress with more than 200 deputies. The Congress is under their influence and also influenced by projects related to big entrepreneurs such as hydroelectric projects that have been growing and becoming more dangerous in this government right now, which empowers violence against the environment and against us, the indigenous peoples, and our territories. One of the results of this political challenge that we have been facing is the increase of the Amazon burnings in the whole country. There are 84% more fires than at this time last year. It has been the highest number of fires registered in 7 years, as we have been told by the National Institute of Space Research that monitors satellite observations. So it is really a crime against humanity, and it can result in existential tragedy.
Our next article is from the September issue, and it is titled Puerto Rican People's Revolution Forces Governor's Resignation. The Puerto Ricans took to the streets in historic numbers for nearly 2 weeks in July 2019, They demanded the resignation of the island's governor because of corruption and mismanagement of funds, as well as leaked text messages in which he and members of his inner circle denigrated women, gay people and victims of Hurricane Maria, which struck the island in 2017. After Governor Ricardo Rossello announced his resignation on 24th July, Puerto Ricans across the island celebrated in the streets. Political uncertainty followed as to who would succeed him. Several top government officials, including the Secretary of State, the next in line for governor, resigned due to the text scandal. Two other members of the cabinet had recently been arrested for corruption. And another potential successor's appointment was deemed unconstitutional by the island's Supreme Court.
The protest in Puerto Rico, a U.S. territory, were historic for a number of reasons. An estimated 1 million people took part. That's about one-third of the island's total population. The popular movement spanned the political spectrum, encompassed all age groups, and was without a formal leadership structure. And Rosello's resignation was the first time that a governor of Puerto Rico had ever been pushed out of office without an election. We are demanding a real and radical change in this country, in the way that politics are done, protester Gabriel Nazario told Al Jazeera. We didn't demand the resignation of a corrupt government, only to have another equally corrupted government. We are demanding a real alternative. This is really a Puerto Rican people's revolution, said Jaime Estades, president of the U.S.-based Latino Leadership Institute. This is not going to stop until the government is cleaned up. And the source of that was Al Jazeera, Common Dreams, New York One.com, and Vox.com.
And another article from that same issue, and this one is titled, We Are More and We Are Not Afraid. And it's an eyewitness account of a 1 million person protest in San Juan, Puerto Rico on the 22nd July 2019, written by Share International co-worker Anna Cruz. The press looked for the people who organized this march, but no one in particular was found. It was called the March of the People of Puerto Rico. The protest was attended by people of all ages, from young to old, as well as people with various disabilities. It should be noted that the common feeling was one of joy and jubilation. The atmosphere was one of respect, cordiality, and brotherhood. We were singing, dancing, clapping, all waving our Puerto Rican flags with the pride of our Puerto Rican commonality. Among the many slogans were, We are more and we are not afraid. And they took away so much, they even took away our fear. The energy was overwhelming. We were a united and cheerful people, united with the joy of wanting a better future, wanting justice, wanting peace. It was wonderful to see people's creativity and much more that was shared. We shared food and water with strangers. Also, while we were marching, there was free water and food available to everyone, without knowing who donated them. We even shared shade under a tree and an umbrella with a stranger. There was not a single incident of aggression.
Around noon, when the sun was warm, it began raining heavily, which continued for about 3 hours. This caused people to give thanks for the rain. People started dancing and jumping over rain puddles, hugging and crying. As adults, they played in the puddles like children. People shared coats with others who were cold in the rain. In that moment, the collective realization was that the heavy rains were a thank you for our awakening, our sharing, and our union with family members killed by Hurricane Maria. We held hands, prayed, and gave thanks. We spent hours in that consciousness. No matter the distance we walked, we didn't feel tired. We were certain, as a people, that we were going to achieve our demand, the resignation of the governor. People said, We are your employer, and we are saying goodbye. And the people woke up. During the march, people commented that this is something organic, suggesting that the order, peace, creativity, and sharing that took place on the march was bigger than all of us. It was a march of no one, but at the same time, of everyone.
And on that subject of people power, we would like to end our program with an article by Benjamin Krem's master, titled The Rise of People Power. When all is said and done, there is but one way to describe the present international situation: chaotic. Power-hungry warmongers, reluctant agnostics, and self-appointed heroes eager to save the world struggle to win the support of the people for their various points of view. The voice of the people struggles to be heard amid the tumult, but more and more is a factor to be reckoned with. In many countries, vast throngs demonstrate their opposition to a forced and unfair confrontation and express their fears of a terrible aftermath. Throughout history, similar situations have arisen again and again, but only very seldom has the will of the people, even when directly involved, been an important factor in the deliberations and decisions made. In recent centuries, only in the great transforming actions of revolution has the people's voice been central to the action and made its mark on the time. Today, once again, the moment has come for the people's voice to be heard. Today, once more, it is essential that the needs of people everywhere for justice, freedom, and peace are heard and recognized by the wielders of reckless power. These dangerous men, caught up in the glamour of their power, must realize that the time for war is past, that humanity longs for peace and security quickly vanishing. The little Napoleons must be told that their days of power are over, that the times have robbed them of all relevance, and that the power now lies with those who serve the true needs of the people.
When Maitreya enters the fray, he may at first go unheeded in the hectic events which daily drain men of serenity and calm. Soon, however, men will find that their thoughts and needs are being heard and given voice by a mind more thoughtful and persuasive than their own. In this way, they will feel emboldened and join together the better to be heard. Maitreya will address their most urgent needs, their deepest hopes and fears. He will speak for all men, for people everywhere, and will thus make known the quality of the new society which inwardly satisfies the dreams and expectations of all. Soon indeed will Maitreya enter openly the lives of men. He is well prepared and eager for the challenge which lies before him, and his courage will strengthen those who can respond. From his great heart will flow the love which it is his nature to bestow, and when men are ready, he will declare his name and office. Thus will the great Lord manifest his close relation to men and women everywhere, and thus too will he fulfill the trust which men forever have placed in him. And that was from March 2003.
Well, that's about it for today's program. Thank you very much for listening. And if you would like more information, we would recommend checking out the Share International website. And as you might tell from the name, it is share-international.org. Otherwise, if you would like more information, especially about local events or our meditation groups, you can email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all. Thank you.